Well, good morning. It is so wonderful to see you all, that you braved the weather, the roads. It's funny. Sometimes I think, Lord, is this the message? And then things happen and you think, yep, it's the message. This morning, we're going to be looking at two scriptures, and they're going to be helping us see things clearly about serving. And you know, this morning, phone call after phone call, I'm sick, something happened, I can't fulfill my ministry obligation. And so amazing, there is no lack of anything because people stepped in and served. So I just, at the beginning of the service, I just want to say thank you to all volunteers who so willingly stepped in and served this morning. It's amazing. There is no lack of anything in this house of the Lord. So praise the Lord. I was thinking a lot. I've been, the last half a year or so, I've been really wanting to learn more about Jesus and how he taught, how he preached, everything about him. And that brought me the last month or so to my life verse, John 15:15, and we're going to jump to that. But we all sometimes wonder, what does this really mean? Does this mean what I think it means? Am I seeing it clearly? And that seeing is something that's also been on my brain lately, because as the Lord has given me longer years of life, my eyes have kind of had, there's a little bit of trouble going on. And I have three eye conditions, that one that I was very aware of, and a couple of eye conditions that I wasn't aware of until I had an eye exam. And one of them is a really weird name. It's called MAP dot dystrophy. And what it does, it kind of, on your lens or your cornea, you have this thing that's like a map, and it sort of comes and goes. It's part of the autoimmune disorders, and sometimes you don't see things like you should, and you're not even aware that you're not seeing things as you should. So then you become very familiar with how you see things. And only when I went to the optometrist and he looked at my eyes did he say, oh, you have this thing. What? I have this thing. And through lubrication and corrective lenses, I began to see a little differently. So the first picture, we didn't even see that there was two little boys. But through the new lenses and all the things, I've discovered, hey, there's more than one thing in this picture, or the whole picture is complete. So I want to explore with us the idea of serving and friendship, and does one cancel out the other? Now, this life verse in John 15:15, the Lord gave me when I was a young adult. I think I was 18. And I really, really was excited about being a friend of Jesus. I didn't even really, I skipped over the servant part. I just thought, hey, because friendships at that time, Mr. Chris and I were friends, like friendships were just so key in my life. And so I thought, oh, friends. And I looked at that through the eyes of friendship. But in the last couple of years, as my life is seasoned with more years, the other part has jumped out at me. So I was kind of just asking myself, okay, are we servants? Are we friends? Lord, help me to see this clearly, and help me to see this simply. Because sometimes when you're digging with theological issues, it can become not so simple, right? You're digging and digging. But one thing, what Jesus always did, he spoke the word and he went deep, but he did it simply, so that the people weren't left like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Because he used the ordinary things of life, the creation around him, the people, the acts that he did, and explained everything so clearly and simply. So then I thought, okay, let's go and look at the definitions for servant and for friendship. First of all, let's start at the beginning. I'm kind of the ABC building blocks kind of girl. My brain works that way. and it can also go into rabbit trails. My girlfriends know that. So servant means doulos, and in the Greek language, it means slave, bond servant. And for us as believers in Christ, we use the word with the highest dignity for those who are willingly living under Christ's authority as his devoted followers. Now, I have often felt like a negative servant connotation in the house when the dishes seemed endless, when the laundry piled up. I remember as a child, my mom asking me to serve, and I was thinking, I remember this moment, what do you think I am, mom, your slave or your daughter? Like, those questions are real, and sometimes then where our eyes focus is the task, right? Then we are thinking more about the task than the person who asked us. And then I looked at the word friend. And in this John 15:15, it's philos, a trusted confidant, someone dearly loved in a personal way. And the root word, P-H-I-L, is an experience-based love. So I thought, oh, okay. These two things somehow connect together and give us a clear picture. So one isn't canceling out the other. Then in my reading in preparation for this sermon, I read excerpts of a book reread by an author called Philip Yancey, and he writes a book called The Jesus I Never Knew. And in it, there's a gem of a verse. I always say gem of a verse for the verse that just happens to come alive to me. They're all gems. But Mark 3, verses 13 and 14. And he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. See, I saw there, click. Jesus' outlook was already farsighted. He saw those he called to himself as those with whom he wanted to have a relationship, not just training them to do a task, but he saw it that the beautiful language, so that they might be with him, those he himself wanted, and they came to him. That right away speaks of that far-sighted look Jesus had, love, relationship, friendship. Jesus came to serve, and he served them in so many ways, but his outlook was not just, I'm training up fellow little workers. He saw his disciples as people he wanted to serve because he wanted relationship with them, that intimacy. And I thought, oh, wow, this is so amazing. Yes, he had to equip them, and he had to serve them in that so that they might be equipped. But that far outlook, that lens, was one of friendship, relationship. In Mark 10:45, we read, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And the word in the Greek language for serving is dikaneo, and it means to be cared for, have needs met in a practical way. There's one instance that I thought the Holy Spirit showed me when Jesus did ask his disciples to serve him, and that was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, could you not wait with me a little while? But the rest of the time he served, and he didn't, because he wanted that friendship relationship with them. And I thought to myself, what if we really truly understand that and have that lens, so that our tasks for one another, the serving, isn't the end of it? Yes, today we had to have someone helping out counting money, and Danny so graciously and Chris said, yes, we'll do that. We'll count the money. Our youth will have to help. It's little changed because our youth leader experienced some car trouble. And everyone said yes, but I didn't have the feeling that they said yes just because of the task. Sometimes we need our lenses adjusted, and sometimes we've walked with the Lord and the Holy Spirit has done the work in us so that that clicks into our place, and we think, oh, I am seeing this differently now. What started as an act of service has now become something I do with Jesus and for Jesus. I had one of those moments in the Blessed Life seminar because it made me realize what's the fellow's name? I forgot. Thank you. Robert Morris was using the word worship in terms of tithing. And I thought, hey, my lens has changed. I grew up in an apostolic church, and we, from very infant on, tithing was something we did. But it was something we did. But over the years, the Lord changed my heart, and now it's an act of worship. I didn't even realize that. But in that moment, I thought, yes, there was transformation. The Lord has helped me to adjust my eyes. Sometimes we need to ask him, Lord, could you, am I seeing this clearly? Other times he will just show us that moment when we realize, oh, the Holy Spirit has been transforming me. There is a change. So that's the good news. We sometimes start out in obedience. Jesus started his ministry in obedience to the Father, but he didn't do that just for the task. The Holy Scriptures say, for the joy that was set before him, and we sang about that today, we are his joy. He saw that, the joy that was set before him. His lens was so clear. And the Holy Spirit in us, that's the good news, works in us to give us that clear, clear lens and vision. And I got so excited about that because I thought Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to cleanse our eyes, and other times he's doing it and we don't even know it. So I don't want the word today to be heavy. Go have your eye examined. But you know what an eye exam is like? Even if that were to happen in your life and you needed to, you know when you go into the optometrist's office, they wash their hands, they wash the instruments. They are so gentle. An eye exam isn't a forced thing. So when we ask the Holy Spirit to look at our eyes, he will do it and he'll be so gentle. That's why maybe it says don't take out the speck in another person's eye. Just take care of your own eye first. Take the beam out. But even I wouldn't even want to start fiddling with my own eyes. I might do damage. So allow the Holy Spirit, as you think about this, to help you and to also give you encouragement if you think, hey, God has been working in my life. Now, when I thought about serving and we're using Jesus' example, one of the things that came up in my mind was, okay, that's 3.5 years that Jesus did this. Are we asking one another when we ask, you need to be in this for life, 3.5 years? Maybe, but maybe not. There is a wonderful example of this in the scripture that talks about the road to Emmaus, where Jesus took a walk with someone and served them. And that walk, I think, was 7 miles. And so an average person just taking a stroll could probably do that in 3 hours. If you were really walking, you could do it in 2 hours. I'm thinking they walked and talked. Maybe they did that in 3 to 4 hours. And let's read about that for a minute. It's in Luke 24. Now behold, two of them were walking that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. I wonder if Jesus was walking and they were walking and then he saw them and thought, hey, how did this happen? We're walking on the same road. No, Jesus is always intentional, but he used that opportunity. And Jesus drew near, so Jesus always comes near to us, always. When we're serving each other, when we're serving him. The men's eyes were restrained. They did not know him. They had limited vision in their recognition. So it's a process. But Jesus went with them. And in that two, to 4-hour time frame, he served them by teaching them. Service looks so different. Sometimes it's washing feet and it's dirty and messy. Sometimes it's teaching someone. In Chris's in our life now where we're at, we're serving our parents, and it's not always easy. But one of the ways we're serving my mom is when we're talking to her. She was a Christian all her life, but she'll say, "That's in the Bible? I forgot." So for those moments we are with her, we're serving her by just opening up God's word again. And it's so amazing that when we do that, God opens eyes and transfers eyes. And when Jesus was with the disciples, they enjoyed his presence so much that they said, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent." And the word says, and he went in to stay with them. So when we're walking with Jesus, when we're serving him, he wants to be, that abiding is there with him. And you know, then it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. So in that 4.5 hours, Jesus served them by taking a walk. Then he came and gave them fellowship, and their eyes were opened. And they understood because of that personal relationship that they had. This took half a day in this instance. Half a period of time. Some things take longer, 3.5 years, or it could be just the moment, a moment. But if we can see serving through the eyes of the joy that was set before them, I'm serving this person so they can be restored in relationship. I'm serving this person this moment because they're lonely. I'm serving this person because they're afraid, not because of the task, because we don't do a task. We serve a person, that's Jesus, and he wants us to do that for one another as well. I thought to myself, is this really the message, Lord? It's so simple. But Chris and I had an experience on Saturday that was kind of like a road to Emmaus moment. We were going on a date night. It was Friday night, and it was ladies' choice. And in my brain, I thought, okay, Saturday, skills, competition, NHL. Sunday is going to be the game. The rest of the time is going to be not ladies' choice, but gentlemen's choice. What do I want? I want to go shopping. Ladies are probably not surprised. And I wanted to go to a mall further away. And so Chris and I went to Chinook Mall. He very graciously said, "Okay, honey, it's your night. It's your deal." In my mind, I was going to find one little treasure, stop for coffee and a treat, and we would look at each other, and he'd say, "What a wise shopper you are," and and also now there's a reward with food, so I had it all mapped out. But in this mall, one of my nieces is working, and sorry, I'm going to try real hard, and this little niece struggles so much, and it was date night, but we thought, well, let's just go say hi, let's see if she's working. Yep, she was working, didn't see us. So we had this moment, and I wish I could say Chris and I found the nearest super telephone booth and put on our Christian superhero outfits, ta-da, here we are ready to serve. But it wasn't that. It was a process. We talked. It's date night. Isn't it okay for us to have date night? She hasn't seen us. You know, all the things that we talked about in just moments, micro moments. But God opened both our eyes at the same time. And we saw a girl who needed us. So we thought, what can we do? She's working. She's had her break. We thought she would have had her break. And then we both thought, why don't we drive her home? Whoa. I was done shopping. He was done shopping. He was done shopping before we went shopping. But we walked for 2.5 hours in the mall just so we could drive this girl home. we didn't stop in a restaurant because we just kind of thought, and we talked about, how is this going to look? What are we going to do? How can we serve this girl? So I did get my coffee. I did get my cupcake, but it wasn't in a restaurant. It was in a little bench. I made crumbs. Mr. Chris's eyes got really big. He doesn't understand how messy I can be. And we waited for this girl. Well, she was so thankful. The first thing out of her mouth was, Auntie and Uncle, I don't know if you believe this, but I actually still pray. Yes, we believe it. We believe in you. And I said to the Lord last night, God, I'm so lonely. I just left a really bad relationship. And I'm in this little room. I found a new place to live. I'm in this little room. And I'm so lonely because I have no one. I had to leave my friends. So I thought, wow, God. And she said, God heard me. Yes, he heard you. He heard you. He heard me thinking, is this the right message? Yes, it is. And funnily, the time it took for us was about 4 to 6 hours being with her, kind of like the road to Emmaus thing. And I thought to myself, God, you are so gracious to me, to Chris, to this young woman. She opened up her heart. We cried together. We laughed together. Got to buy her supper. We didn't preach at her. We were just there. We served her. But on the way home, as we're unpacking our time, we thought, God put that lens, that click in. Why did we do this? What's the why? Just so we could do a good deed. In the Jewish language, it's called a mitzvah. Did we just do a mitzvah? No, we didn't. Because both of us thought, we want to see this girl restored. That's the joy that was set before us. Restoration to her, to God, to her, to the family. We got to live this message out. And it's like the last penny dropped, and we thought, we served this girl. Did it start out as a task, a good, kind deed? Yes. But in the doing, in our willingness to do this, God changed our eyes. And so that's the great news for all of us, that when we do that, when we serve one another, it's a phone call maybe. Maybe someone needs a phone call. You're serving the Lord when you're doing that. It is simple. Is it deep? Yes. Does that mean we're not going to visit her again? No. Maybe the work has just started again. We know we can't leave this girl alone. How we do that, what our time looks like, we have to also have wisdom in that, right? But I know that God is with us step by step, and he shows that. We had another incident when we wanted to sponsor someone. Chris and I thought, how can we serve you by doing this? It's the very real retirement. We're 60, 65 is coming. Will we have the money in 5 years? Yes, there is a faith factor, but there was also, let's discuss this. Well, we could have an older child and say yes to 4 years. So working with the Lord, serving, isn't always the 3.5 years. It's sometimes just saying yes to the walk with someone. But when you are obedient and when you do that, God's grace and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I was saying to Mr. Chris as I'm reading and all these things fall into place, you know, God's word does tie together from the beginning to the end. All the verses kind of fall into place. And so the message this morning is so simple. But I wonder if in the next few moments, we could ask the Lord to have a look at our eyes. Has he shown us something that we need to see or understand that we're seeing now? Like myself with the tithing. It was such a wondrous revelation to me that God had transformed my view on things. And I didn't even know until that moment. Or do we really need to say to the Lord, you know, I'm not sure I'm seeing serving the people around me as serving together with you for the joy that is set before me. Not just pleasing a person, but seeing the people, seeing that transformation, that we want to see happen in their life. And as we do, as we partner with the Lord and partner with people, we're also going to be transformed. It's amazing. It's a reciprocal thing. And I know the message this morning was very short, 15 minutes, but I thought we would leave some time so that when we're singing, to have the Holy Spirit look and see, is there something? And then we're going to open the altars, because one way we can serve one another is to pray for one another.